This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
I'll be reading from the book of Proverbs this morning, chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. I can't help but think that God's word is a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. And that's what I think of every time I turn to the book of Proverbs, the wisdom. So beginning in verse 9, again, Proverbs 9, 1 through 6, the word of God says this: Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has set out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places of the city. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, Come, eat of my bread, drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. And may God bless his word. Thank you.
If you'd all please open up in your Bibles if you'd like to follow along. Brother Scott was reading from the book of Proverbs, chapter 9. I'd like to backtrack a little bit here to the book of Proverbs, chapter 8. And I'd like to share with you an account that's not recorded in Scripture, neither in existence, but worth sharing. One day, Eve was working in the garden in the cool of day when God walked by. And she stopped God and looked at him and said, God, why did you create me? And God, with a tender gaze, looked down upon Eve and smiled and said, I was concerned that Adam might get lost on the other side of the garden and refuse to ask for directions. And I knew Adam would eventually wear out his fig leaf and refuse to get it replaced, and so we need somebody to help him with that. I knew that Adam was going to end up setting his garden tools down somewhere and forget where he laid them and lose things and need someone to help him find them. I knew Adam would eventually proudly look at you and say, Yeah, I'm watching the children while they're swinging from branches over the river nearby. And I knew that Adam was going to walk past every single fruit tree that I made and still look and say, What is for supper? And so Eve paused for a moment and thought about it and looked at God and said, Well, God, if that's the case, why did you create Adam? Solomon was the wisest man in the world. And when it came to writing about wisdom, he chose to use language that pertains to a woman. There's a unique and special wisdom that's found in a woman, especially a mother who has been gifted with an ability to understand things that we men cannot understand and see things that we men cannot see. And I think it was a very wise decision for him to do such. There is a very wise woman in the Bible that I want to draw your attention to. Can anybody guess who it is? Just name out a woman you think is a very wise woman in the Bible.
Ruth,
good one, but not the one I'm thinking of. Mary, a good one, but not the one I'm thinking of. Naomi, Esther, really good choices, not the one I'm thinking of. One more. What was that? Who said that? Raise your hand. Keith, you got it. Her name is Wisdom. And we'd like to hear what she has to say. Amen. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 8, remember, Solomon is writing under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And as he is being inspired, his mind is thinking, how can I describe this virtue which I want to relate to my hearers? How can I describe this wonderful pursuit of God's knowledge applied? That's what wisdom is, knowledge applied. Taking the truth of God and knowing and being able to apply it in everyday life. How can I personify this? And he decides to describe wisdom as a woman. We'll call her Lady Wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 8, read along with me, does not wisdom cry out, and understanding lift up her voice? He introduces this idea of this virtue as being a woman and says that she is crying out and understanding her voice. So he's using what we call personification, when you take something inanimate or a concept and you apply human traits to it. And he decides to do it as a woman. And it makes sense. The Hebrew word for wisdom is feminine in nature. I think that was a wise decision. And we sometimes use personification in our own language. I remember when I started working for the Amish, something that's common out here, not so much out east, is we were moving a pile of lumber, and one of my coworkers had one end and I had the other end, and we were picking up the boards, and you know, he always wanted to pick up more than I could carry. And so we were picking them up and I'm fumbling. And he looked at me when I was picking them up and he said, "You got her?" And I thought, "I got who?" Yeah, and out here, her is reference for a lot of things, you know, a car or a plane or something, you know, it's she. And this is what Solomon decides to do for wisdom. Apply the feminine picture here. And so the question I'd like to look at is this: what does Lady Wisdom have to offer to us? You know, if there's a woman speaking, we ought to listen, especially when it's wise words. And so what does Lady Wisdom have to offer? What does God, through Solomon, through Lady Wisdom, want to share with us about this virtue? And so let's look here in verse 1. Does not wisdom cry out, and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on top of the high hill, beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates, at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. And she says this, "To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O you simple ones, understand prudence, and you fools, be of an understanding heart. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge." What can we discern from Lady Wisdom in these words? Well, the thing that stands out to us is this. Lady Wisdom wants to teach us. Lady Wisdom wants to teach us. She wants to get our attention. She wants to capture our attention. The picture here is that she's standing on a high hill, standing on the heights, where down below the traffic is going on. The busyness of life is happening. And there she is up top, calling down below, saying, "Listen to me. Give me your attention." She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors, verse 3. The gates of the city was where a lot of discussion, you know, the town gossip, the happenings of the day, a lot of the various events happened at the city gate. And so there is Lady Wisdom at the city gate saying, "Give me your attention here." Verse 4, she says, "To you, O men, I call." Now, I know men can refer to mankind, but I think it is pertinent that we men listen. to what wisdom has to say, and my voice is to the sons of men. So that tells me that, imagine you are one of those Israelites just walking about your day on this path of going to the marketplace, going to work, meeting up with other people at the city gate to discuss the various topics of your time. And there is Lady Wisdom calling out to you. That tells me a couple of things. First, it tells me that it's easy for my attention to be off of Lady Wisdom. It's easy for us to go about our day and forget about wisdom, right? We constantly need to give our attention back to wisdom. Our minds can be distracted. And that's the second thing it tells me, is that we need to make an effort to take our eyes off of the distraction and put them back on wisdom. Amen? We ourselves are not naturally given to wisdom. Oh, there's a wisdom of the world. Families have their own approach of handling things. Cultures have their own approach of handling things. Societies and countries have their own approach of how to handle different things. But if we want to handle our lives the way God wants us to handle, then we have to think the way God wants us to think. We have to decide the way God wants us to decide. And the way we do that is to partake of the wisdom He wants to give to us. In James chapter 1 verse 5, the Bible says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." You see, it's easy for us to get distracted. It's easy for us to get off of God's path of thinking by renewing our minds. And so we get into the thinking of the world. There are a lot of voices that are shouting to us from the heights, but we want to hear Lady Wisdom. When I was thinking about this concept, immediately I was brought back to my childhood when I was in school. I believe it was elementary, fifth grade or something. And I remember in the school, I regressed from thinking about the class and the teaching to myself and my own interests. And I remember sitting there in my distracted desk, and something that was of interest to me at that moment was the sound your head makes when you plug your ears and hum. And so everybody, you know, you put your ears over your head, and when you hum, it just sounds weepy, interesting. And so I lost track of my reality. I regressed into my own amusement. I put my fingers into my ears and started humming, and it was just me and my hum. And I was going along and going along and going along until, like waking from a dream, I heard, "Ants!" And I opened my eyes and looked around, and everybody in the class was looking at me, and the teacher just yelled at me because they all heard this humming kid distracting everybody from their work. And, you know, I'd like to say that I have grown up since then. And while I may not, during Sunday school, plug up my ears and hum, I do know that my mind can wander. I do know that I can easily be distracted. And I do know that there are things that take my attention away from God and away from His Word on myself. And when you listen to Lady Wisdom, when you take the fingers out of your ears and you heed what she has to say, read what she has written for us, then you become more aware of your world around you. You see, I was trapped in my own selfish bubble world of humming. And the crying out of the voice woke me up to the reality around me. Oh, I'm in school. Oh, I'm trying to study. Oh, I need to pay attention. Oh, I'm distracting other people. And when you and I cultivate a wise mindset, when we heed the voice of Lady Wisdom, read the Word of God given to us, obey its precepts, it's like we unplug our ears and we become aware of the world God has placed you in. And He sees reality, you see reality as it is. And you can respond as a wise woman. You can respond as a wise man. because you are in tune with your reality. Lady Wisdom calls out to you in the marketplace. You look up, you see her, you think, oh, God has a word for me in this moment. When you make decisions about where you need to go for careers, God has a word for you in that moment, a word of wisdom. When you have decisions you have to make about your body, when you have decisions you have to make about your future, your relationships, God has a word of wisdom for you in that moment. And we have to unplug our ears to hear Lady Wisdom crying out. The word of God is given to us as a lamp unto our feet, a light to our path. Are we heeding? Are we reading? Are we being acquainted with Lady Wisdom? Amen? That's the first thing that Lady Wisdom teaches us. She is crying out to us. Verse 6, I will speak of excellent things. Verse 8, the words of my mouth are with righteousness. But there's more that we learn from Lady Wisdom. There's more that we can benefit from. Look, if you will, in the next handful of verses. In verse 10, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. I, Wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance in the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, all the judges of the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Amen. I've got that underlined in my Bible right now. Those who seek me diligently will find me. It just came in my mind, if you jump back to chapter 2, you have an elaboration on this idea that if you seek wisdom humbly, God will give it to you. In verse 1, my son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her, there it is again, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity in every good path. You see, we have to seek her. We have to diligently ask for her to come into our life. And she says, if you seek me, you will find me. But look at verse 18 back in chapter 8 here. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. Now that's interesting that she said earlier in verses 10 and 11 that I am better than riches. And here in verse 18, riches and honor are with me, enduring riches. Certainly there is a riches that is better than the riches of this world. Amen. Jesus says, lay up your treasures in heaven where moth cannot destroy, where rust cannot get at, where a thief cannot break in and steal. These things are better than what the world has to offer, an enduring riches and righteousness. Now look at verse 19. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold. My revenue than choice silver. I traverse in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice. Now look at verse 21. This is interesting. That I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. So when we read these verses, the thing that stands out to us, not only does Lady Wisdom want to teach us, secondly, Lady Wisdom wants to reward us. She wants to impart to us what she has to offer. Look, if you will, at verse 15, it says here, by me kings reign. She will give wisdom to those who are in positions of leadership. If you're going to be in a position of leadership, you need God's wisdom to know how to make decisions that honor Him. There are a lot in positions of leadership who are fools because they don't know how to lead with wisdom of God. The beginning of wisdom is what? The fear of who? The Lord. Verse 15 says that by me kings reign and rulers decree justice. She's saying that through wisdom, you can have a right understanding of good and evil. The more you seek God's word to cultivate wisdom into your life, listen now, you will understand some measure of what is right and wrong, especially when it comes to issues that pertain to your day that are not written in the Bible specifically. You hear that? This is key. I'd like everyone to listen to Lady Wisdom here. There are things you hear about in today's day and age, things you read about. The Bible doesn't say this verse and chapter, this is how you handle AI. This is how you handle the war in Iran. And so the world's got a plethora of opinions and ideas of what we should follow. How are we going to discern what's right and wrong? We need wisdom. We need to cultivate our biblical, God-given, God-shaped, spirit-filled mindset to have some clear idea of how to navigate these issues. Where else are we going to have our own intuition? I don't know how to handle AI. I've got mixed feelings, but that's one thing I'm trying to navigate. What does God say about it in His Word? Well, He doesn't say anything about AI specifically, but He does say some things about the image of God that might relate to this idea of transhumanism. Taking a robot and implanting some sort of a soul in it, or vice versa. You see, God has to shape our understanding. Now, I'm not going to take this morning to give you all the answers of all the various issues, but I will say Lady Wisdom will guide you in the right path. But the more we crowd out our minds and souls and hearts with the distractions of this world and all the different ungodly things that are bombarding us, we will be taken by surprise. We will be taken by surprise. We need to be very linked to God, very linked to His Word as a strong foundation to navigate the storms of today's issues. Amen. We need wisdom. So that's another reward. We have not only the ability to leadership, but we have moral discernment. He says, by me, rulers decree justice. And it goes on, verse 20, he says, I traverse in the way of righteousness. Lady Wisdom will give you the ability to walk uprightly as God's wisdom fills you in your decision making. There is something to be said of verse 21, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. Or if you jump ahead to verse 24, blessed is the man who listens, verse 34, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors, for whoever finds me finds life. You see, when you read the book of Proverbs, you realize wisdom gives you mindsets and discernment for things pertaining to eternity, moral things, things that God wants you to know. But it also suggests that if you walk in the way of the wisdom, there are blessings that can come as a result. Certainly, a godly, wise man or woman will do better in the workplace than a fool. Amen? And what comes as a result from working hard and honoring the Lord in your workplace, well, just the natural order of things, you do better. You get promoted because you're noticed versus that person who's been embezzling money. Think about it. Wisdom guides the decisions you make about what you permit into your life, what you give to others. Wisdom guides all facets of your life, from your health to your wealth to your prosperity. But what happens is we turn to those things as the ends instead of to God. And so if we turn to God, what He does is He blesses us, but sometimes He removes those things from us and blesses us with deeper things. Okay? So you look at a Christian, you're like, they're not healthy, they're not wealthy, they're not prosperous, they must be a fool. That's not what the Bible says. Look at the disciples. The leadership looked at them and said, they're uneducated. All we can discern is they had been with Jesus and God is filling them with His power, filling them with His blessings. And so it's not tit for tat that the prosperity preachers try to give. The idea, oh, if you obey God, if you walk with God, then you'll have wealth, then you'll have health, then you'll have all this. But I do guarantee if you walk the path of Lady Wisdom, you will do better in your work. You will know how to handle your family's various issues. You will know how to make wise decisions about your belongings and your assets. That's the way wisdom works. So let us not take our eyes off of God and focus on what God gives, but let us remember that what God gives is better than what this world can give. Amen? I read the story recently of a lady who was a wise woman walking down the road, and she looked to the wayside and saw a precious jewel sitting there on the wayside. So she picked up this precious jewel and she looked at it and she put it in her bag that she had, and she was walking along. And then there was this other traveler who came up to her, and he was just emaciated. He was just weak looking. And he looked at her and he said, "Lady," he said, "I have been starving. I have been destitute and homeless, and I need some help. Is there anything that you could offer me? Any food that you could offer?" And she opens up her bag to give him some food that she has. And when she opens up the bag, the traveler sees the jewel. And he looks at her, he says, "Oh, ma'am, could I have that jewel that you have? Because I could use that, and I could really use that." And she takes the jewel and hands it to him. And he goes off. And while he's going, he's thinking, oh, all the things I can buy with this jewel, all the wonderful gifts I could, the food and the clothing and everything that I could get from this. And as he's going, he thinks about her. And he realizes there was something better that he should have gotten. So he turns around and he tries to find this woman. He goes back to her and he says, "Ma'am," he says, "I want you to have this jewel back. Because what I want instead is what you have, that you would be willing to give me this jewel, not knowing who I am, versus the food that I had asked for." What that tells us, brothers and sisters, is that when we come to the Lord, He has things for us better than any jewel could be worthwhile. And those are the things we want to ask Him for. Amen? Those are the things we want. She says, "My riches are better than the things of this world. My fruit is better than gold, than fine gold. How much more worthy to be a wise woman, a wise man in this world than what the distractions are being sent our way." Amen? We want the reward that Lady Wisdom gives. We want to hear what Lady Wisdom will teach us. And there's one final thing that we read in this passage, okay? Look at this. Verse 22. "The Lord possessed me at the beginning of His way, before His works of old." She says, "I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth." I just want you to Listen to what she's saying here. This is deep and profound, okay? When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields, or the primal dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, for all those flat earthers here.
That's their proof text.
When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. This is profound. What is Lady Wisdom teaching us? What is God teaching us? Here, it's almost as if Solomon is bringing us back to the beginning. When God created this world, and he's saying from day one when God spoke and started to create everything that we see, it was through wisdom that he did. She's saying, I was there from the beginning. I was part of the master craftsmanship. It's almost as if Solomon is saying, God used me to create. And many people have linked this passage to some sort of pre-incarnate Christ, you know, allusion, this idea of Jesus being the wisdom of God, which all things were made. But even if we don't go down that path, we can see it was with wisdom that God created this world. Now, why is she telling us this? She's saying, through me, alongside of him. The language actually is as if there was this father and the daughter came alongside in the projects that were being made. And the idea is that I was there being used with God in the creation of this world. You look at the world around you and you see there's some wisdom in that tree with the flowering buds, amen? Well, that was a wise thing God did, wasn't it? We have on the wreath on our front door right now, there's a robin who made a nest in the wreath. And she took the top of that wreath and she opened it up and she made this beautiful cyclone of sticks and twigs. And she sits in it and I stand in the front of the house and I look and there she is. And the heat from the sun comes down right on that spot to help warm those babies. And she sits there faithfully. And she goes with the other robin parent and they find worms and bring it back. Just yesterday we were outside and we were looking. I was working down in front of the garage and I looked and there came the robin with the big bug worm, whatever. Stood on the side of that bowl. And there the little beaks came up. Like, the robin fed the beaks and the beaks went down and she went off to find the next thing. And what a beautiful picture of the wisdom of God. That was God's idea. That is wise. It is wise the way that the sun makes the rain and moisture go up into the sky to create clouds to travel it to where it needs to drop to create food for us. It was all wisdom everywhere. And here's what came out to me in this. Verse 31, my delight was with the sons of men. Of all the things that was created in this creation, her delight was the fact that God created mankind. And here it is, brothers and sisters, when you walk in wisdom alongside Lady Wisdom, God, listen now, listen, God uses you to create beauty and to bring blessing into this created order. You hear that? God created Adam and Eve and said, have dominion over this earth. And when you have dominion with wisdom, beautiful things come out of you. Amazing things come out of you. Because God's wisdom is in you. God doesn't need us. But God has made the decision to use us. I remember hearing at Sandy Richards' funeral or before when I was talking to the family. You see, I knew Jack was a craftsman. He made cabinets. Some of you probably have his furniture in your house or his cabinetry in your house. Okay? And it was beautiful. And I'd always go and visit Sandy, and there was this light fixture above their kitchen table that was just ornate. And I just realized this Jack, he had a real gift. And as Sandy was, when Sandy went home to be with the Lord and I talked to the family, you know, I know what I found out. I read the obituary. I listened to Kent. Sandy designed what Jack created. Sandy was the one who made the blueprint, who made the image for Jack to create. And I think of that, and I think of the way God made you in His image. God made you with unique talents, unique ways of operating. He doesn't need you, but He has decided. If you submit to wisdom, if you shape your understanding through the Word of God, willingly submitting to His thinking, letting His Spirit work inside of you, like He used Bezalel to create the tabernacle, He uses you to create beauty, to create order, to create His will for you in this world. And so much of our existence is sitting on our haunches and receiving everything hand-fed to us. And God says, no, I want you to have dominion. I want you to think. I don't want you to just go through this world being told what you're supposed to do, being directed how you're supposed to be directed by the world system on a factory line of birth and life and retirement and death. No! Give yourself into the hand of God and be a tool of His to create. And oh, how our art system would be shaped, our music industry would be shaped, our government would be shaped, our education system would be shaped if God's people had wisdom. Amen? Amen. She says, I was there at the beginning, and I delighted in the sons of men. Brothers and sisters, Lady Wisdom has a lot to offer us. The question is, are we heeding the call? Are we heeding the call? Lady Wisdom wants to use us. Lady Wisdom wants to reward us. Lady Wisdom wants to teach us. Let's finish up with her invitation. Today, we have two paths that we can walk down. I'm going to bring up to you the path that we don't want to walk down, okay? Chapter 9, verse 13. There's another woman out there. We'll call her Madame Folly. Verse 13, a foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house on a seat by the highest places of the city, to call to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, stolen water is sweet, bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. See, there's another voice calling out to you and I today, and it is the voice of Folly. And many hear it, many follow her path, and many find themselves in the depths of Sheol, eventually hell, the lake of fire. But there's another invitation today. Verse 1 of chapter 9. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat and has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places of the city, "Whoever is simple, let him turn and hear." As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, "Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding." We have two invitations today. We have the invitation from Madame Falling, who wants to destroy us. She is working for the devil to keep us away from the will of God. What distractions are in your life that are keeping you from God's worry? What voices are speaking to you that are keeping you from obeying Him? What things are shaping your mind according to the way of the world? It's leading you astray. It's leading me astray. The other invitation today is Lady Wisdom's house. It's ready. It's built. The question is, are we going to walk in? Amen? Let us find her path, heeding her word, praying to her source, which is God Himself, asking for wisdom, which He imparts freely, being guided in the way of this weird world we live in. Amen? And finding life. Finding life. I'm thankful that God introduced to us Lady Wisdom, Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this teaching. Lord God, we don't want to walk in the path of folly. We don't want to be shaped by the advice of this world. We want to be transformed in the renewing of our minds. We want wisdom, Lord. You say in your word that you give wisdom freely. I ask here this morning that every person in this room would be given your heavenly wisdom today. I believe that you will give it. And I believe that it will make changes in our lives, that we will be more in tune with you and your word, that we will be close to you in our day-by-day walk, that as we go about the path of life, we will hear your voice calling from the heights. And you will guide us, Lord. Give this church wisdom for the days ahead, the opportunities you will afford us, the blessings you want to give. Shape the mindset of this church to be wise. Thank you so much, Lord. We go from here ready to hear you. In Jesus' name, all God's people together say, amen, amen.